new player, Tim, has joined the game. Ben rolls a d20, but only gets one. Australia's greatest podcast, said no person, ever.
Welcome to another dungeon. Hey, that was my line.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very spooky episode of the Another Dungeon podcast. On tonight's program, Ben, that is I, Dr. Benjamin Stein, and my assistant Tim Gore will be discussing some very spooky games!
That was better. That was like one accent.
Yeah, I nailed the accent.
You did. You must have been practicing.
Someone had a bit of spare time today, that's for sure.
Oh, well, that's good. In case you missed it, welcome to episode 36. It is a spooptacular episode. We'll be discussing some Halloween games and also something I'm guessing you're pretty excited about,
yes,
Ben.
Yes, the most amazing thing happened last week, even though it should have happened about 6 months ago. We finally got confirmation of Nintendo's new console, what it is, what it's called, and that's about all we got.
Yeah, I actually did end up watching the video, but we'll talk about that in a sec. So from here on out, we're also planning to introduce quick reviews to the start of the podcast, mm-hmm. To kind of complement the what are we playing. So I've really only been playing Battlefield still. It's still good. But also, the Dark Souls first DLC came out, Ashes of Andariel. It's pretty short, like, really short.
How long is it?
There's one, 8, ooh, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, or maybe even less. I mean, clearly depends on your skill. It's relatively difficult. It's more difficult for... So I'm playing as a pyromancer. A lot of enemies seem to dodge all my spells, which made it a little bit more difficult because, you know, your melee build isn't quite as good if you're going pyromancer. Apart from it being short, it was pretty good. Some pretty cool items with some pretty cool new weapon skills, a few new spells. It's $22 in Australia, I think. Season pass is 38, which is pretty good, or 37. But I would say it's a definite play, but maybe not quite worth the price tag at the moment, so maybe wait till it's on sale. And that's about it for me. Battlefield 1 is still a buy. I've been playing more multiplayer, a little bit of single player. I finished one of the stories quite quickly, so I'm hoping the other ones are a little bit longer than that, but from what I've been reading, the single player campaign is pretty short.
That seems to be the way with modern first person shooters.
CODs and Battlefields, yeah. I mean, I've never bought them for the single player. I know some people that do, and that seems a little bit crazy to me, but I mean, story-wise, it's good. It's doing a good job of portraying how brutal World War One was, but yeah, if you're buying it just for the single player, maybe don't get it.
Does the single player teach you the multiplayer's mechanics, or is it nearly a fully different system?
Yeah, it's supposed to. It's a little bit of a different system, but not too much. It's supposed to introduce you to... So one campaign is flying. One that I'm doing now is driving a tank. The Gallipoli one, I'm not quite sure what it's supposed to teach you.
It's supposed to teach you how bad Australians died in that battle.
Yeah, yep. But I mean, nothing is really going to be a match for other people, and
yeah, for sure,
how random behavior of other humans.
But I think
is.
That's the way. If developers are going to do shorter single player campaigns, I think they should focus it on teaching you as much of the mechanics of the multiplayer as possible. Splatoon did that, and I thought it did a really good job, because by the time you defeat the final boss, you were prepared for anything the game could throw at you.
Even people?
Except the Japanese. There's nothing can prepare you for the oncoming onslaught of the Japanese. And I'm talking about Splatoon here and not World War One. But
that's racist.
But nothing can prepare you for people that just play Splatoon all day nonstop.
Yeah, I only played that at launch, so it was an interesting mix of skill, I'll say that. What have you been playing?
I just finished the last Wii U game I will probably ever buy, because the library is pretty much over. And that was...
Was it FIFA 17? Is that out on
Wii U? I'm not even sure. Who makes... That's EA, isn't it? EA was the first company to drop Wii U support. Because Nintendo wouldn't put Origin as like their main feature of their console. But the last game I played was Paper Mario Color Splash, which is using a lot of the systems from Sticker Star, which is one of the most hated Mario RPG games of all time because of how boring and vanilla it kind of was. I'm pleased to say that Color Splash has really gone all out to tell a really fun story. You go to a lot of really interesting locations. I went to like Pirate Islands and we fixed trains and we cooked a steak. There's lots of really fun scenarios that kind of break the mold of your usual like grass world, fire world, ice world.
What was cooking steak in
it? So there was you on the train line, you kind of have to carry a bunch of toads to all these different levels along a train line. And one of the levels is you stop at a steakhouse, and so you have to prepare the toads a bunch of meals using kind of your battle action commands to like cut the... You make like a pizza, and you gotta like cut the vegetables properly and stuff. And then there's like a special VIP guest, and he demands a steak. So he throws out like a realistic steak, and you have to fight the steak. And I won't spoil it, but you've gotta use the right battle cards and commands to cook it the right way, otherwise he's unsatisfied. It's quite genius.
That's yeah, that sounds really interesting.
It's definitely one of the funniest I've written Mario games in a long time. Like the writers really crawled out of the woodwork and wrote some very funny moments. There's definitely stuff where I think they held back. The combat system is not as in depth as the first two Paper Mario games, and the story isn't as.
What did you say? Combat. Sorry, I thought you said combat.
No, combat. Yeah,
the combat.
The combat system is you have a collection of cards and you slide them up into the screen and color them in. And like if you use a hammer card or use a hammer action, which like it's a very good system. It works and it's fun, but it gets a bit repetitive. And I prefer when the system in Paper Mario had like more RPG mechanics. So you don't get experience in this. You get like pseudo items that count as experience, but really you just get more health as the game progresses at key moments. I prefer if you leveled up traditionally.
It kind of takes the grind away though, but so would you say buy, wait for sale?
And maybe wait a little bit. My like Nintendo games don't really ever come down in price. If you've got a Wii U and you're looking for something to really like send it off and play something really fun, I think it's really solid. There's a couple of parts that will frustrate you. Some levels have like a backtracking route that takes you to an alternate part, but you have to backtrack and like it's right at the end of the level, so you have to replay the level straight away again and for very little reward, and that was kind of annoying. They're not very long, they're kind of like small set pieces, but I don't know why they did that. But otherwise, it's really fun, beautiful visuals. Everything really looks very papery now. The characters, when they're sad, will like floop down, and all the scenery is made out of like papercraft stuff. It's very creative and very inspiring to just visually look at, I think.
So will it tie me over till March?
Probably not. It'll keep going for a good week, I'd say.
That's not too bad. What's in March?
In March, we will finally get our hands on the Nintendo Switch. Switch is the official name for the NX, because the whole console's concept is it can switch between a handheld that you can take to your friends' rooftop parties and a home console. And so basically it's kind of like the Wii U gamepad. It's a screen with two controllers on the side, and those two controllers can slide out. And you can slot the gamepad screen into a toaster, and that toaster will instantly display whatever game you're playing on the screen. And then when you need to...
Is that any toaster? Or the
it's got to be
Nintendo
the special
toaster?
Dock that will probably come bundled with the Switch. And then you can slide it out when you're done playing on the big screen, when it's cooked at a solid 3 on the toaster. And then you can, yeah, bring it on the go. There's like a...
So...
Yes?
The video showed, no other word, but live switching. So they're playing on their TV and then they literally just shove the controllers on the side, lift it out, and it continues on from where it was.
I'm led to believe and backed up by other comments that, yeah, it happens very quick on the slide. So that's Nintendo seem to be doing what they're best at and packing some really surprising and innovative hardware. No word on specs yet.
Actually, that's not true. We know it's powered by the NVIDIA, the same thing they have in the Shield.
We know that...
So it's not overly powerful. Well, it's like it's post 360 era for consoles, but not a whole lot better than the PS3 and 360. But Nintendo generally make the best use of their hardware.
I think the route they're probably going down is very much the same with the Wii U, is that the GPU is a lot stronger than the CPU, and knowing how to use that means you can do a lot of stuff that is surprising.
I'm talking about the GPU, though. They reckon it's the one that NVIDIA run in their Shield.
But it's like... Because NVIDIA were actually making a Shield, too, that would allow you to stream on whatever to a tablet. But they cancelled that project, obviously, because of the deal with Nintendo. So we suspect it's that new chip that they were going to use. Yeah.
Okay. Yep. Regardless of hardware, though, they didn't show... a massive amount of. The only kind of worrying thing is the controller looks really small. So, you know, when they put it down, I think they were playing basketball, so one person had half a controller, the other person had the other half, or Mario Kart or whatever it was. It looked really small in those people's hands. The other thing that worries me is the docking station for the controllers, which is also a controller in itself. Just the stick positions look really weird, and I'm not quite sure how that's going to translate into comfortable controller. So there is a Pro Controller, which looks pretty good and is probably going to be the way that I'll personally go. Yeah. But yeah.
I think at the end of the day, they're about giving people options. We heard from one of the actors in the video who didn't use the final thing but used a dummy Switch that the controllers are pretty comfortable. But there's obviously the Pro Controller.
But he's an actor. What do actors know?
But there's obviously a Pro Controller, so, if people are still complaining about what control... Like, it seems like Nintendo are dropping a lot of their gimmicks for this console.
Controller is important, though. Like, if you... That's the same... It's the reason why I didn't use my PS3 that much, and only for specific things, is I hate the PS3 controller. PS4 is a little bit better. The PlayStation 3 was just put me off straight away. So to me, I mean, it's how you play your games. You can't get the controller.
But I think with the Wii U, the gamepad was utilized pretty often. And I liked the gamepad, but I understand not a lot of people did.
I liked it in certain circumstances. Splatoon, I liked the fact that I could turn it off and I didn't have to aim with it. I've heard rumors, and that's all it is, I think, at the moment, about the new Switch tablet is actually not a touchscreen. Now, that's probably drawn from the fact that no one was touching it in the ad. But
I'm suspecting it is, but I'm thinking that Nintendo won't put a touchscreen and focus on their gameplay.
I don't think they'll put virtual sticks and stuff on there like you have.
We know that in Breath of the Wild, the Zelda game that's coming out, because there's a Wii U version of that. The Wii U version doesn't take advantage of any of the Wii U's features. So the gamepad screen is off unless you're doing off-screen play. There's no like map interaction on the screen or like touch support. It really seems that Nintendo are focusing more on the hardcore controllers. And their goal has always been, since the end of the Wii, to transform their casual audience that they created into hardcore gamers. And that's why the Wii U didn't quite succeed, because the casual market didn't really understand it. But I think this time they're really hoping with the portability, with the adaptability of using whatever controller you want and how you want to play, and being able to play with friends. You can start a LAN party anytime whenever people bring multiple Switches next to each other. I think they're hoping to make hardcore gaming part of the casual gamer's lifestyle, I think is their goal.
And look, let's hope they succeed. It'll come down to a lot of stuff. One question I have is around battery life, because
everyone's pondering that.
The gamepad wasn't fantastic. The other thing for me, personally, is I might get a chance to play Monster Hunter again, because I don't play it on the 3DS. They still haven't, you know, they'd be stupid, I guess, to announce that the 3DS is dead, because clearly it does pretty well for them overseas. But hopefully we'll see some of those portable titles.
I'm fairly confident that's the end goal, but obviously they've got to wrap up the generation.
That's the other really important thing we haven't mentioned. Everything is cartridge based, so they've done away with OptiDual.
What are your thoughts on that? Yeah,
love it. Cartridges load a lot faster. The storage space on them now is amazing, so I don't think there'll be an issue there. The only issue is
losing them.
Yes and no. The issue is, if everything's cartridge based, there might not be a large hard drive or much of a hard drive. So what does that mean for the eShop?
Well, for the 3DS, I've got like...
Oh, hang on. It also means there's no backwards compatibility. Yeah.
Because, backwards compatibility is confirmed. Yeah. I think the president came out and said that. So it's a completely... It looks like the 3DS cartridge, but it's a completely new cartridge. With the eShop, I know the 3DS had lower quality games, but I got like a 32 gig SD card or 16 gig or something that was much higher than the one they give you defaultly. And that's carried me like... the entire generation. I have so many games on my 3DS.
That you've played digitally?
That are just sitting there and it's completely fine and very comfortable. I feel like these days, I'm assuming it's going to have some kind of SD card support because they've had that since the Wii. You just put a 64 gig in there or 120, I don't know how high it will support. But
it depends.
I reckon it'll be all right.
Maybe. Like, a lot of modern games, let's lowball it, like 20 gig.
But with the advantage of cartridges, it doesn't need to download off the cartridge.
True. Yeah, but what for eShop. Store, you're going to need a lot larger SD card. 500 gig didn't last me long on the Xbox.
But also, those games are installing every single disc.
Yeah. But I mean, if you bought all of them from the store, it was... Anyway, love the cartridge. You go back to your 64, everything loads pretty quick. And that's something I guess we lost as we went to optical drives. So.
Disks were obviously really important at the time for capacity and visual increase. But these days, we need to go back to cartridges because that's just objectively better.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to bring about the old issues of blowing in cartridges and making sure your contacts are good, but it's not necessarily a bad thing. It looks like a good console. They've got a huge range of listed support at the moment, but as somebody pointed out, the Wii U's initial list of supported developers was pretty good, and it dropped off very quickly.
And I think...
So they've... The interesting one for me is From Software.
I was going to bring that up. how would you feel if there was like a trilogy pack of all the Dark Souls on a little cartridge that you can play anywhere?
If they fixed some of the issues with Dark Souls 1, I'd love it. I think it's... I'm pretty sure I've read that From Software are working on something else anyway. Like, they announced that a while ago that's not a Souls game. They've done Armored Core and something else, I think. So whether we see Armored Core or something completely new from them, who knows? But yeah, there's heaps of Platinum and Atlas and all the big names, THQ Nordic.
Yeah, some surprising names. Yeah, that kind of
surprising ones in there too. So maybe, yeah, some of these dead companies have been focusing on the NX and NX Solid. Who knows? Maybe Nintendo helped them out.
I think also what's also surprising is how much like support from software the Switch has. So as well as all the games, it also lists like the engines that it supports. I think Nintendo's trump card here is they're going to make it really easy to port games and different engines to the Switch and make like portable versions. So I think the losing factor of the Wii was it was quite difficult to convert a game to be running on two screens, and that's where they lost a lot of the interest from other companies. And a lot of the first wave games of third-party support were like experiments, and they weren't happy with the quality of the stability, and then they ditched. I think with the Switch, they're going to fix that.
They were mostly ports, and then once they realized, probably what you're saying, that it was too difficult for not really the return they're looking for. That's it. So, look, I'm optimistic I'll get one. I like Nintendo. I like what they try and do, and I like what they do achieve sometimes.
I think this is a good direction because they're removing themselves from direct competition with PS4 and Xbox. Like, they're not saying, we need to be this, and you have to buy us instead of our competition. They're saying, you can buy us. Yeah, I know. That's not what they've ever said, but that's how people interpret consoles, because they're not, everyone's thinking home consoles are the one kind of thing. But now Nintendo have kind of created their own stream of console, and you could very easily own a Switch alongside a PS4, and there'd never be any direct conflict in terms of gameplay. Like, they both offer very different experiences and different titles.
Yeah, and I think the other thing it's got going for it is it looks like there'll be a few first-party titles at launch, or in the launch window, which the Wii U didn't have. I mean, we've already got Zelda. What they showed off in the trailer was a new Mario. Brand new
3D platformer. So Mario's moving around a lot more like 64 or Galaxy rather than 3D World.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say 64, not Galaxy. Yeah.
Bigger open world designs, it looked like.
Yeah.
And new themes and good elements.
I will be looking forward to Mario heading back to that platform, because I didn't like 3D. Well, I didn't play 3D World. It's not my kind of...
Oh, you need friends, that's why. It's only really fun with
friends. Well, then... That rules me out there, doesn't it?
Do you know what's good about 3D World, though? It's got so much content. Like, you finish the 8 main worlds, and there's, like, 4 other worlds to unlock. It's quite a generous amount of levels to play.
The first Galaxy was like that, wasn't it? You finished it, or you thought you'd finished it, and you go back and find Luigi. And
then that was just replaying the levels as Luigi with slippery physics.
Yeah. I never really did it, as you might tell. I got to that point, I was like, I've had enough. But there's something else coming up very shortly. We'll be breaking our normal podcast release cycle and releasing this one in time for Halloween.
Ooh. So for anyone listening from America, Halloween is not really something we do in Australia, but we've started to, well, at least stores are starting to sell a lot of merchandise, a lot of candy, a lot of fake spiderwebs, trying to trick us into celebrating the holiday. And I guess kids have grown up with a few generations of that now, and kids are starting to dress up and trick-or-treat and stuff.
So now we have to lock our doors and turn our lights off and pretend like we're not
home. Otherwise, heaven forbid, we give America candy to children. but I guess, like, I'm not against Halloween, but... I've always kind of enjoyed the atmosphere. Yeah, let's put aside some time to... I always loved the Halloween TV specials on TV that kind of, like, spooked kids.
TV specials on TV?
Back. Remember when there was TV programs made specifically for TV?
No way.
And so I wanted to talk about... just like, what are some games you thought have had a really good spooky atmosphere or have had spooky elements in them done really well? Because a lot of games have like that one Halloween theme level just for one of the worlds, or just what's a moment in games that you've really enjoyed that played with the whole spooky vibe?
Well, event-wise, I don't play many MMOs, and Guild Wars 2 is the only one I've really done. They usually have a good... event that sprawls into the world, but also has its own specific event as well, with, you know, items that are only available during that time. seems like this year a lot more are getting into it, like GTA Online. Some of the MOBAs, I think, have got some Halloween stuff going on. As far as spoopy games, I kind of struggled. I'm not too big to admit that there are games that I've stopped playing because I was too afraid to proceed. Amnesia Dark Descent was one. I think I just got my PC and a good set of headphones, and I started playing, and that just freaked me out.
I think I got a good solid 5 minutes into that game before deciding I shouldn't play this by myself.
Yeah, I think I was the same, and I can admit that. Another one for me, there was the original Dead Space, so it was kind of... Obviously, it's not the first scary game, but it was the first game I'd played that was like... There's rewards for exploring side areas, but you just know that there'll be something there.
A deformed space, and maybe.
Once you... Yeah, and once you, especially in the first game, once you learn the pattern of if there's a vent in the wall, something will burst out. If not this time, then the next time you're in there. But there was a particular section where, must have been outside a bit, it was either sand or something, something was stopping you from seeing very far, and that particular section was just really freaky. I think they did a really good job with the atmosphere in that game. Combination of the location, the lighting, and the sound, it made you tense the whole time. It was really good.
Yeah, it's good when a game's atmosphere can make you feel a certain way, even though you know it's just the game, it's just the same as the rest of it, but as soon as you get to that one zone where things get a bit more tense, you're like, ooh.
And there was one part in Dying Light. So Dying Light's a zombie game, and you know, you get used to zombies everywhere. In the game, you can loot, you know, cupboards and wardrobes and stuff like that. And every wardrobe I was prepared. And then probably 10, 15 hours into the game, you drop your guard. And then there was one building I went into, just open it, you know, spamming X to pick up loot. And there's a zombie in there that just comes at you. And that caught me so off guard. It did such a good job. I may have screamed a little bit. What about you? What are some of the...
I'm a big fan of not so much horror games, but more the games that use horror elements for like a particular section, or kind of comedic lighter elements in games. So when I think about Halloween games, there's one that stands out massively. I don't know if you've ever even...
Is it Costume Quest?
That's a good one as well. I was going to mention that actually. Oh. That's a bit of fun. But one, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but there's a Nightmare Before Christmas game. My brother had it on PlayStation 2. It is exactly the same gameplay as Devil May Cry series, but you're Jack Skellington. Wow. And it's pretty fun because it kind of expands on the movie, and there's like original songs. They're just using the same music from the film, but like they recorded it for the game story. So some of the boss battles are big musical numbers where like you've got to hit reaction commands to do your big finishing moves it's like a musical number. It's pretty fun. Pretty solid, surprisingly solid gameplay for like a tie-in movie game by Disney.
Which I usually
terrible. Yeah, that's very true. So that one I always enjoyed when I was younger. I always think about Mad Monster Mansion level in Banjo-Kazooie, or just a lot of moments in old Rare games as well. There's like the Spooky Castle in Donkey Kong 64, and
which one's Mad Monster Mansion?
Is the first Banjo-Kazooie game. It's one of the later worlds, and it's a big spooky mansion. It has ghost monsters that burst out of paintings to scare you. It's got these flower vases that say "Thank you" when you shoot eggs into them, but everyone thought they were saying "F you."
I think I remember that.
There's like a rose garden maze you have to run through to a time limit, and it just had a lot of really good elements that in the Nintendo 64 era was really great. It had gravestones that popped out of the ground and chased after you with their googly eyes, and the rest of the game's pretty like cartoony and fun, but there's a few moments in Banjo-Kazooie that are just genuinely terrifying.
You know the best part of Banjo-Kazooie? And the part that made me replay the entire game until I got up to it? Is the board game.
Oh, yeah. That's always fun.
That was so
good. Yeah, I love how they finish on a quiz or a board game.
I had one save game file that was dedicated to replay that, so I could go back and play it whenever I want.
It's a really good. Yeah, I'm surprised that didn't become a trend in like more games, like testing your knowledge of what you've experienced the whole time.
Yeah.
The other game I think is really excellent for Halloween atmosphere is the first Luigi's Mansion on GameCube. It's surprisingly atmospheric. It's like a kid's version of Resident Evil. And it's pretty fun gameplay as well. One of the most unique titles I think Nintendo's ever made.
Fun gameplay. Yeah. No way. What did you think of Until Dawn?
Until Dawn's a good one. I had a good experience because I played that with friends from Midnight Until Dawn. We talked about this in the Until Dawn episode.
We did. Did you find it scary? Did you find the atmosphere building was good?
I found, yeah, it had a lot of elements that I think built a lot of tension.
In certain bits, yeah, I think it I don't, did, yeah. It did
I don't think it
job.
Was always executed well. I think it fell back on kind of your classic horror slasher kind of.
Which is kind of what it is meant to do.
But that's my least favorite form of horror. I guess the monster and the plot and everything, and so I was pretty happy with that. That they went down the route I was imagining they would go down. I didn't find it was as fluid as Heavy Rain. I found Heavy Rain.
Heavy Rain isn't spooky.
No, but just in terms of like the gameplay. I don't know. What I thought Until Dawn did perfectly was the prediction totems, where you could find these items, look through them, and it would show you a possible death or horrific scenario. And that was the best part, because you immediately generated your own anxiety and fear about what was going to happen in the game, and you tried desperately to prevent it however possible.
Yeah, that's true. And they're obvious, sometimes they're ambiguous enough that it could be, you know, any number of sections. And so you'll enter a new area and you'll go, that kind of looks like the rock from the prediction.
You always second guessed yourself. And that little mechanic like completely tweaked the whole making choices in a game scenario, because immediately you didn't know what your choice was going to end up doing. But you were fairly warned at the same time.
Are you a partaker of Halloween events or Christmas events or anything like that in any games you play?
Yeah, if I'm playing an MMO at the season, obviously I want the cool costumes. Except whenever I play, they always seem to have given out a better reward the year before. And now I've joined and it's only lame. Like, I was playing a Final Fantasy MMO, and the year before they gave out some amazing like Valentine's Day mount, and then the year I was playing you just got like a dress or something. Like, I can't use this. Where's my cool mount? Oh no, I think for Halloween they gave out like a broomstick that you could fly around on, and then they just gave out some spooky mask or something.
Do you still play 14?
No, it got a bit 14, expensive. I had a really good summer with it. It's a solid MMO, but it doesn't do anything new or original. If you've played an MMO, it is an MMO. And so if you like Final Fantasy and you want to play an MMO, it's a good fit. If you just want to play World of Warcraft, World of Warcraft's probably better.
I guess the other spoopy game I've seen but not played is that... I want to say Left 4 Dead, but I know that that's not it. Dead by Dawn. It's another 4v1, so one person plays the killer, the hunter, and everyone else plays as the victims, really. And they try and escape, as you know, and that uses things like when the hunter's close, you can hear the heartbeat and that sort of stuff. Seems to be pretty atmospheric. Like I said, I've only watched, I haven't played, so I don't quite get the full experience. The Friday the 13th game looks like it'll do that as well.
There's another one I've been following the development of called Last Year. This one kind of takes a lot of homage to 80s horror. So you play as like four stereotypical teens. You've got like the jock, the nerdy girl, the nerdy guy, and the cheerleader. And then the other person is one of three different types of serial killers. And so you're trapped in venues like a school and a summer camp, and you use all their abilities. Like, the nerdy girl has a pet hamster. She can put in air vents to, like, go and retrieve items and unlock doors and stuff. That one looks pretty fun, but it's a slow development.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Are you going to get candy? Are you going to go trick-or-treating?
I probably won't be going trick-or-treating. I'm trying to organize...
What's the age limit?
Trick-or-treating. I think in America, it's like you trick-or-treat up until you're about 13 or middle school, and then once you hit high school, you start having your wild Halloween parties where you either accidentally resurrect a zombie and he shows up at the party, or you, like, kill someone, dies, and then there's, like, a psycho murderer. What about in Australia?
Am I allowed to go trick-or-treating?
Probably only if you're escorting a kid, and probably only then if you're related to that child.
I was going to say, does a kid have to do this?
Well, that would turn out to be very spooky Halloween, wouldn't it? If your kid goes missing, it may or may not be pedo in a ghost sheet.
I just want candy. Yeah. very good. We have recently made the shift. Is that all? Do you want to say anything else?
Resident Evil 4 is worth playing one day if you've never played it. That is a wacky, wacky game.
I did have it on my list. It was the first Resident Evil I've actually played.
I do not think it is a good game. I don't think it's aged well at all. However, I think it is on the list of, like, fundamental games you should play and finish in your lifetime because of how, I don't know, game it is. It's so fundamental to the time it was made, and it's so iconic, I guess.
It is, and I think it kind of was the last of the survival horror Resident Evils. Yeah. Then they just started going action. Mm. And lost their way a bit. Anyway, we can talk about Resident Evil losing their way another time. we have recently joined Wooshka as a hosting platform. WOOSHKAA. Check us out on there. We can now actually track how many people listen, which is cool. We are part of the Pod Bros Network. You can find us at anotherdungeon.com. We are facebook.com/anotherdungeon. We are at anotherdungeon on Twitter. I learned this from Dave. There is a YouTube redirect from our website. So I think if you go to anotherdungeon.com/YouTube, it will actually take you to our channel because it hasn't let us register a channel name yet. Neat. It is neat. He's a clever kid. Where else are we? We're twitch.tv/anotherdungeon when we start streaming again. We will at some point have a pilot episode that someone is working on the YouTube channel. Do you want to divulge any information, or we'll leave it there?
Still a work in progress. But yeah, it's keep a work an in eye progress for some a content.
Subscribe and you'll get alerted when it comes out. Just look for Ben's Secret Project. Thank you for listening, and join us next time, and hopefully we'll be back to our regular 2-week schedule instead of 2 in a week. Bye.
Bye-bye.
'Cause scary skeletons and shivers down your spine. Shrieking skulls will shock your soul and seal your doom tonight. Spooky, scary skeletons speak with such a screech. You'll shake and shudder in surprise when you hear these zombies shriek.
We're so sorry, skeletons, you're so misunderstood. You only want to socialize,
but I don't think we should.
A spooky, scary skeleton shouts startling, shrilly screams. They'll sneak under sarcophagus and just won't leave you be.
I serious?
Spooky, scary skeletons, I see all the same. They'll smile and scrabble slowly by and drive you so insane. Sticks and stones will break your bones, they seldom let you snooze. And spooky, scary skeletons will wake you with a bang.
We'll be right back.